good morning. I will say good night soon. No, anyway, I don't have 61 points. I just want to point you to Christ. Amen. So today, as we celebrate Singapore's 61 National Day, it is my privilege to share God's word with you. My sermon title is Citizenship in Heaven. This morning, I said citizenship in Singapore because I love Singapore so much. Everything in me is Singapore. Anyway, citizenship in heaven. Living in Singapore, we understand what citizenship means. As Singaporeans, we enjoy the privileges of citizenship and we embrace the responsibilities that come with it. Unlike some other countries, Singapore does not allow dual citizenship. If you have dual citizenship, please come to me secretly after the service. Legally, you can only belong to one nation. As Christians, there is another citizenship that defines us in a more significant way. While we are citizens of Singapore, our ultimate citizenship is in heaven. We live on earth, but we belong to another kingdom. Our values, our identity, our hope, and our allegiance are shaped not merely by the country we live in, but by the king we belong to. Today's anchor verse is taken from Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. Apostle Paul reminds us of this significance of citizenship in heaven. And I want to invite you to read this passage together with me. 1, 2, 3. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. As I was preparing this message, I made an interesting observation. Singapore has a National Day song that beautifully expresses what it means to belong. Many of us know this song, Home. Part of the lyric says, can sing along.
This is home, surely, as my senses tell me, this is where I won't be alone, for this is where I know it's home.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Susan. In case you thought it's Kit Chan, sounds alike. I know many of us would like to continue singing this song, but listen to me. I'm going to say something that helps you to appreciate this song more fully. And tonight when you will sing with gusto. I promise. The lyrics of the song Home resonate deeply because they express our love for our nation and our longing to belong. But did you know that the Bible also speaks of a river in our eternal home? Listen to this beautiful picture in Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 to 5. I want to read for you these five verses as they give a glimpse of what our eternal home looks like. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see him, they will see his face, and his name will be on their forehead. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. I'm not suggesting that the songwriter of Home had Revelation 22 in mind when writing that lyrics, but I find a beautiful reminder that the deepest human longing for home ultimately points us beyond any earthly country where we live. We thank God for Singapore. We love our nation. Singapore is our fine earthly home, but it is not our final home. One day, we as believers in Christ will stand in the heavenly city beside the river of the water of life, in the presence of our Lord. That is our home, which our hearts were ultimately created for. Could you join me as we pray together? Father, we thank you for the nation of Singapore. Thank you that this nation has been blessed to be a blessing. And today we ask of you to bless us with the word that comes from you. It's just like a love letter from you. Bless us to receive your love, your heart for us. And bless us with a desire to want to have more of you. We want to know you more and to belong to you wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In a book written by C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity, I want to share with you a quotation, but it's a long one, but very thoughtful for us to think. Most of us find it very difficult to want heaven at all, except in so far as heaven means meeting again our friends who have died. One reason for this difficulty is that we have not been trained. Our whole education tends to fix our minds on this world. Another reason is that when the real want for heaven is present in us, we do not recognize it. Most people, if they had really learned to look into their own hearts, would know that they do want and want acutely something that cannot be had in this world. There are all sorts of things in this world that offer to give it to you, but they never quite keep their promise. If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. Have you sometimes, in your quietness of night, just feel that there is this sense of homesick, a sense that this world is not really where you belong, or nothing really satisfied you? C.S. Lewis said, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. Chew on this. Maybe you have experienced that longing. C.S. Lewis observed that deep inside every human heart is a longing that nothing on earth can fully satisfy. We can be very successful in our career, have good degree, wonderful marriage, good family, but something is still amiss. We don't often recognize it for what it is. Instead, we try to fill this void with success, possessions, relationship, achievement, or experiences. Yet, no matter how good these things are, they never quite keep their promise. Have you noticed that the happiest moment in your life never seem to last long enough? I have experienced that the holiday or the event that I was looking forward to and planning for come and go. And I can't even remember most part of it. In the quietness of our celebration of achievement, there's still something inside us whispering, is still all there is? C.S. Lewis says that longing is not a defect. It is a clue. It is a clue for something else that nothing in this world can satisfy. We are made for another world. I have felt this longing myself most vividly in the years after losing my husband to pancreatic cancer in 2014. 3 years after Peter went home to be with the Lord, I remember posting this quotation on Facebook. It resonated deeply with me because grief has a way of awakening within us a longing for something beyond this world. If among us we have lost our loved ones, you know, in our grief, sometimes we have a longing for something. It is an awakening, a longing for something beyond this world. A year after that, I spent 6 months at IHOP. IHOP is not International House of Pancake. It is International House of Prayer at Kansas City. So the 6 months, we spent time on studying the second coming of Christ and God's preparation of the church as his bride. In the last 2 years, unfortunately, there were many painful truths that have come to light about the sins committed by the IHOP founder. But even so, I treasure that season of sitting in the prayer room and focusing on the beauty of Jesus. It was also during that season I became increasingly aware of this quiet homesickness, not for a place on earth, but for my heavenly home and to see Jesus, my beloved. Please don't take this as a suicidal thought. I'm not ready to go home yet, actually. But I think if we are posture ourselves that we are on a journey to go home to be Jesus, we will look at our life differently. We will use our time differently. So as I prepare this message, I find myself revisiting that season of awakening to a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy. I believe that it is a God-shaped longing, one that ultimately finds its fulfillment only in God's eternal presence. Even our love for ministry, meaningful as it is, cannot replace the day when we see Christ face to face. I don't know how many of us have constantly or do think about one day we will see Christ face to face. I know that thought may trigger some fear in us. Oh dear, I'm not ready. Nobody will be ready, in fact, but we are postured to look in that direction. The wonderful news is that eternal life is not merely something that we enjoy after death. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 3, that eternal life begins the moment we believe in him. Let's read this together. John chapter 17, verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life, that we know him, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom he sent. We are already sharing in this life together, but one day we will experience it in all its fullness when the faith that we have becomes sight and we stand in his presence. This future hope profoundly shapes how we live in the present. As Paul has already reminded us from Philippians 3, 20 to 21, our citizenship is in heaven. Christ will one day transform us to be like him. Paul reminds us that although we live on earth, our true citizenship is in heaven. This world is not our home. We are pilgrims passing through. Yet, our journey is not aimless. God is transforming us into the likeness of Christ so that one day when we see him face to face, we will truly be at home with him. At the same time, we have a mission while we are here to reflect Christ so that many may become God's children and fellow citizens of heaven. This is just my introduction. I have 60 more points to cover. So this morning, I would like to explore 3 movements of the heart as we journey from earth towards heaven. There are 3 movements of the heart. 1, remember our identity, knowing who we are and where we are going. 2, reorder our lives, that we want to journey with Christ for life. 3, reframe our story, learning to see our lives through God's eternal lens. The first movement is to remember who we are and where we are going. The passage that we just read, Paul wrote these words to the Christians living in a city called Philippi, a Roman colony. The citizens there lived under the laws of Rome and spoke of Rome as their home, even though most of them had never set foot on Rome. But Rome shaped how they lived, no matter where they lived. So Paul taught the Philippians and we Christians today that we are citizens of heaven in the same way. We carry our kingdom identity into our Singapore identity. And we follow the kingdom's value in the way we live. Our true home shapes how we live here on earth, long before we ever arrived at our true home. Our identity shapes our destiny. Because we belong to Christ, our future is secured. We are no longer living in the kingdom of darkness. By Christ's death on the cross, his resurrection, and we believing in it, we are transferred to the kingdom of light and become children of God, citizens of heaven. This identity gives meaning to our journey on earth. Our journey is not random or left to chance. Nothing happens to us without a purpose, and none of our stories are wasted. I know these few sentences sound very brief, but many of us have experienced that in our life, that we know we have Christ's leadership in our life. Our journey is not a random story. God has written our stories. If you read Psalms 139, before we were born, God has numbered out. God has our story, the days of our life, planned for us. So we believe that nothing happens to us without a purpose, and none of our stories are wasted, because God, who began a good work in each one of us, has promised to bring it to completion. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." When we have this assurance, this confidence, we know that nothing happens to us by chance. Even when we go through hard time, we know that it is not by chance. God knows it. He has something in mind for us. So it's a privilege to be called children of God and to have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, guiding us day by day, transforming us into his likeness. We also look forward to a future transformation. When our Savior comes, he will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Our earthly broken bodies will be changed into glorious bodies like his, beautiful and whole. I can't imagine what it will look like, but I know it will be wonderful. It is such a promise of hope for many of us who are living with brokenness in our bodies or suffering from sickness and pain. One day, this will not be who you are. This will not define who you are. You will have a glorious body. While we await for our Savior, Paul reminds us that there is also an assignment for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." We are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador does not just carry a passport from another country. The ambassadors represent the country they come from. They represent the value and the character wherever they are sent. So if our citizenship is in heaven, then our lives here are meant to represent the King we serve, the King whom we give our allegiance to. So we as children of God, citizens of heaven, and ambassadors of Christ, let's eagerly await the day when everything, including us, will finally be made whole. I have a question for your reflection. If heaven is our true home, have we learned to desire our home? Maybe some of us couldn't answer this question, But you can tell God, I don't know how to answer this question, but I want. Say yes to God and let Him do something in your heart that will change you to have this desire for home. The second movement is to reorder our lives so that we can journey with Christ for life. Does that sound a bit familiar? Because in LSBC, our discipleship model is journeying with Christ for life. We are people on a journey. This journey has a direction. This journey is homeward. Sometimes Christians speak of heaven as if it is simply a better location, not so hot like Singapore. Maybe more interesting. It's not a place. Our ultimate joy and fulfillment will not be just walking through the streets of gold or go mansion hopping. It will be to see our beloved Savior face to face. We have been following Him all our life journey and we long to see Him. When you know a person and you like the person, you spend time with the person, you hope that every moment, every minute is with this person. That's the way we want to have in our life priority to love God that way. Eugene Peterson beautifully described this journey as a long obedience in the same direction. Our Christian journey is not just big moments. It is actually faithfully walking with Jesus day after day, year after year, until we finally see Him face to face. Some of us have been Christians for many years and we still walk with Jesus. It's not easy walking with Jesus. So well done. But we want to not just walk with Him, we want to know Him and love Him more. This transformation is not easy. It takes a lifetime. So there are moments when we stumble and moments when we lose our way or become discouraged. Sometimes our heart desire to obey God, yet our actions follow another direction. Sometimes life disappointments cause us to question God's goodness and we lost our way. All this can happen in the journey that we have. But each time when we turn back to God, He is always there. He never gives up on us. He always invites us to come back to Him. He remains faithful because His character never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He has been faithful in the past, we can trust that He will continue to be faithful in the future. I want to encourage all of us here to keep moving towards Christ. Sometimes the progress is slow. Sometimes it's only one small step that you take. But when you keep moving towards Christ, you are in the right direction. Every step taken towards Christ matters. Every yes that you say to God matters. Even if it's a small yes, it is important to Him and bring Him great delight. We must intentionally choose to seek God, spend time in His presence, obey His word, and align our priorities with His kingdom. I know you hear these things week after week on Sunday. I've been a Christian for, just now they told me I forgot it. I accepted Christ in 1978, so it's 48 years. I've been a Christian for 48 years. I have listened to many messages, like some of you here. But sometimes I wonder why we keep talking about the same thing. It's because we need to be reminded week after week. Our nature tends to go astray. We need to be reminded how to keep this journey ongoing and how to make small, faithful decisions. Every time we say yes to forgive instead of harboring bitterness, it is taking one step in the right direction. When we say yes to prayer instead of relying on ourselves, when we say yes to generosity instead of being selfish, when we say yes to have faith instead of fear, we are taking another step in obedience in the direction towards Christ. And even when we repent, we are turning our, when we turn our face towards God, we realize that He is always there waiting for us. So I just want to encourage us that our journey can be very simple because it's everyday decisions that we make. But don't belittle these small decisions. If today you say that I want to just take some time to read the Bible, but you manage to read 5 minutes only, it's still a good decision. It's a decision that you make to say yes to Christ. I have been thinking, if heaven is eternal fellowship with Jesus, shouldn't we learn to enjoy Him today, to follow Him and copy Him day by day? This is a decision that each one of us has to make for ourselves. Your parents, your spouse, your pastor cannot make these decisions for you. And we cannot say, because so and so, I have stopped following Jesus. It is a decision that we make for ourselves. It is a decision that's going to change the direction of our life. So we want to take personal responsibility for our journey with Christ. The third movement is to reframe our story as we learn to see our lives through God's eternal lens. Many of us allow one chapter of our life or maybe certain events in our life to define who we are. Maybe like if we have grown up in an unhappy family, we allow that to define who we are. And over time, that chapter becomes the story we tell of ourselves. It becomes our narrative. And we tell people, I'm like this because this thing happens to me. Recently, I experienced a fresh understanding of something the counselors call reframing. You know, we have a picture, you put in the frame. Reframing does not change the picture. It changes the frame around the picture. The circumstances remain the same, but when the frame is changed, our perspectives change and we begin to see the situation differently. The picture is still the same, but when you reframe, it is a change of perspective. I used to, early days, thankfully not now, I used to tell myself, when I'm faced with criticism, I would say, I am no good. You do know that there's a difference between I am no good and I have not done good enough? I am defined who I am. I am defined by something that I do. I have not done well. It's something, an activity. But often we define ourselves by the things that we do. To reframe, when criticism comes, I can say this feedback is helpful for my growth. So we in our daily life, there are many things happen to us. People say negative things. We meet with setback, and we allow negative things to define who we are. Maybe we can ask God, how to reframe this? In counseling, the reframing helps people to interpret their experiences in a healthier and more hopeful ways. The event itself has not changed, but the meaning attached to it changes. And with it, the emotional responses change. In Christianity, reframing is to see our life through God's lens and His truth. When we read our Bible, the Bible tells us what God thinks about us, not what the world says or what we say, because our inner voice often suggests things that are negative. God does not always change our circumstances, but He will change the way we see them. So when we see things from God's lens, we can feel His heartbeat for us. And God can use the truth to set us free. I want to share with you a few sets of reframing. The word says something, and what does God's word say? You know, this may not be the world. It can be the voices inside us, what we tell ourselves day by day, the message. But God is going to use His word to give us a new frame to the things that we say. The world say, your identity is found in your achievements. This is very common in Singapore. But God's word say, your identity, your citizenship is in heaven. The world say, death is the ultimate loss. We feel that way sometimes. When we lost someone dear, we feel that it's a loss. And we use this phrase in our sentence, we lost somebody. But God say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. When we are in Christ, we gain when we live this world, because we gain an eternity, we gain eternity to be with in God's presence. The word say, avoid suffering, because it's too difficult. It has no purpose. But when you look at God's truth, the reframing is, our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Many of us go through suffering, but suffering makes us a better person. Not a bitter person, but a better person. Because God's word says that we will, the suffering, the work of the Holy Spirit will produce in us fruits that bear, that last forever. The word say, you are old. There's nothing you can do. But God's truth says that, Psalms 92 verse 14, even in old age, you will still produce fruit. You will remain vital and green. So often in our life, we allow the world to define us and what you define our life. But let's take time to check, what does the Bible say? What does God say? And let His truth redeem us. When God invites us to see life through His eyes, our circumstances may remain unchanged, but our hearts are transformed. This is the deepest form of reframing. Not positive thinking, but renewed thinking shaped by eternal truth. Maybe this will be something that we want to ask God to help us in a walk with Him. I have come to the conclusion. May I invite the worship team to be ready? As we come to the end of this message, let us remember that the Christian life is not simply getting through this world until we die. It is about living today as citizens of heaven. One day, our faith will become sight. The longing that C.S. Lewis spoke about, that longing that nothing in this world will satisfy, will be fully satisfied, will be fulfilled when we stand in the presence of Jesus. We will see Him face to face, and we will truly be at home. Until the day God calls us to live differently. Remember who you are. You are a beloved child of God and a citizen of heaven. Reorder our life. Choose each day to walk in faithful obedience, allowing Christ to shape our character and our priorities. Reframe our story. Whatever joy or sorrow you carry today, choose to see them through the lens of God's eternal truth. Our circumstances may not always change, but God can redeem every experience and use it for His glory. I want to share with you a recent experience when God gave me a beautiful picture of how He redeems my narrative. I joined a group of 8 persons together with a spiritual director and a team leader for Camino Walk in Spain from 23rd April to 3rd May. The Camino is actually a network of routes that run through Spain, France, or Portugal. You can start at any other country, and the destination is at Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela, where the body of St. James, one of the original 12 disciples, is believed to rest. So the distance from various starting points is about 800 to 900 kilometers. But we only walked the last 100 kilometers from Musa, Finisterre, to Santiago. And we walked 133 km for 7 days. actually, you do nothing but just walk, walk, walk. Put your foot in front of you and walk, walk, walk. But God do amazing things when we walk. You know, our walk was from April 23rd to May, April 23rd to May the 3rd. But our first day of walking was 25th April. That day had great significance for me because it was supposed to be my 17th wedding anniversary. Peter had gone home to be with the Lord only 5.5 years after we were married. So for many years, 25th of April had become overshadowed by grief because I always associate the date with his death. You know how often we associate things with other things as other negative experience or feelings that we had? So that morning when we started the walk, I quietly said to God, "You must be up to something for us. You must be up to something that we start the Camino walk today." As I walk, I sense the gentle whisper of the Lord in my heart. He said, "Celebrate this day because it was the day you married a wonderful man." I was just find myself in tears, but they were no longer only tears of sorrow, but they were tears of gratitude and joy. I must say that I married a wonderful man and I have a wonderful family. I'm so thankful to God for all that He has given to me. Later that evening, I shared with the team this encounter with God. And my retreat leader said, "Let's have a special dinner celebration to celebrate Casey's wedding anniversary." It was such a thoughtful response, and my heart was just beyond grateful for this community that I had. The day has not changed. The past had not changed. But God changed the way I saw it. He redeemed a memory that had long been colored by grief and reminded me that His grace is able to redeem every chapter of our lives. You may have memories that you carried that you say, "That's final." But God says, "I have the power to redeem your life. Whatever chapter in your life that has filled with sadness or pain, I can redeem it." Perhaps some of us are carrying painful memories today. I do not want to minimize your pain. Some pains have been on for a long time, for years. The gospel never asks us to pretend that suffering does not hurt. It hurts a lot. It hurts beyond words can say. But God is inviting us to bring our stories to Him, to Jesus. He is able to redeem what seems broken. He can restore what was lost. He can give new meanings to experiences that once only brought pain. Nothing in God's kingdom is ever wasted. So today, remember our destiny. Remember our identity. Reorder our life and reframe our story and keep pressing on. Paul said in Philippians 3:14, "I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." May I invite you to read this verse together and replace the word "I" with "we." We press on to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, our citizenship is in heaven. This world is a nice place, but it is not our home. Until then, one day we will see our Savior face to face. Until then, let us walk faithfully, love deeply, serve joyfully, and press on together. Our eyes fixed on Christ, our hearts set on heaven, and our lives bearing witness to the kingdom to which we belong. This morning, as I pray for you, I pray for the congregation, the words that came to me, two words, new life. This is an invitation to those who have yet to belong to Christ. Receive this new life that Christ has promised, that Christ has paid his life for you. Receive it. You heard about Jesus, but have not committed to follow him and journey with him. Today, would you like to do so, to receive this new life that Christ has for you and to affirm your citizenship in heaven? The word new life also for those who of us who are in Christ. In our life, we have narratives that need to be reframed. Today, we want to come to God to reframe narrative of our life. There are painful narrative, sad or even dark narrative. Today, let God reframe your story. Some of us carry voices in our heart, in our brain, that define who we are. We don't say that to people, but it's in us. The tape that keeps going on and on. The tape that say, I am worthless. I do not matter. I do not belong. I do not have a hope. I do not have purpose in my life. These are tapes that destroy our destiny. Today, would you come and tell God that, Lord, I need a reframe. Things that happen to me to cause me to feel that way, I can't change it. But I need your help to help me to change the way I view my life, the way I tell my story. We need a new framing to tell the story afresh, a story that will speak of God's redemption, a story that will speak of His grace. So we're going to sing a song, You Are My All in All. I pray that we will walk this journey with this desire that Jesus is our all in all, that Jesus is the treasure that we will seek in our lives. So when we sing the song, we invite you to stand. And if there's some among us today, you want to make a decision to receive this new life, we invite you to come. Our pastor will pray for you. If there are some among us, we need a reframing of our life story. Come and we will pray for you. And even if where you are, you say, okay, I don't need to respond to any altar call today, I will invite you to whisper a prayer to God for His help and say yes to God. Say, God, I want you to be the treasure that I seek in my life. Help me. So that all of us can respond to God one way or another today. Let's stand.
She
I'd like to invite us to just whisper in your heart to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I say yes to you. You are the treasure that I will seek in my life. If among us you are not yet know Jesus and belong to Him, take opportunity to talk to someone. And if there's some among us who need some help to reframe your story, seek help. I implore you, do something about it, because this life is too short to walk in the journey of a wrong frame. We need to have God's frame in our life. May I close you now? Father, I thank you for giving us this very precious identity. Whether we are young or old, rich or poor, we belong to you. And that one day, we will see you face to face. Remove any wrong thoughts that we have about this destiny. We want to have God's thoughts on this issue so that we will journey with purpose in our life, with intentionality. And Father, I pray that, Lord, you will show us. Help us if we do not understand, but we need to understand this so that our lives can be well defined by your truth. And today, as we leave this place, we ask for your blessing upon us, that the Lord bless you and protect you. The Lord smiles on each one of us here and is gracious to us. The Lord, you show your favor upon us and give us your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.